You know, as you know, we got all the young bucks and gals gone for the campus and singles retreat. And, you know, we went out there on Friday night, and I did this message I'm actually going to do today, and it was awesome. You had all these people all kind of grunged up, you know, wearing their camping stuff, and they came out, and a lot. It was interesting because a lot of these people had never been camping before. Oh, man. You can imagine the little glitches that they had. Oh, you mean I'm supposed to bring a sleeping bag? What do you mean by that? What is a sleeping bag? That kind of thing. So it was a lot of fun, you know. And, of course, it wasn't bad. I mean, we weren't in tents or anything like that, which isn't bad anyways. But we were in, like, little lodges, okay? But, of course, you know, people didn't know that the heat wouldn't really be on, okay? And of course, when you get, you know, 12 guys, 12 women, anything can happen. And in the middle of the night, I got to share this. I'm not going to tell you who it was for their sake. One brother starts yelling in the sleep. Ah! And then he goes, no, no! And he's in the top bunk. Jumps out, runs out the door. Takes off. Of course, in my passion, in my compassion, I should say, turned over and went to sleep. And the next day, this one brother comes to me, he says, did you hear him? I said, yeah. And he said, oh, I thought it was just me. I thought I was dreaming. I said, did you go help him? He's like, no, I thought I was dreaming. I said, yeah, me too. I thought we were dreaming. You know, that kind of thing. So I asked his brother, I said, what happened there? He's like, what do you mean? I said, you jumped out of the top bunk, screaming, ran out the door. He said, I don't remember any of it. Oh. Yeah, I expected to find him out in the woods somewhere, huddled against a tree, trying to stay warm or something. But it was interesting, you know. And then, of course, you got the snoring and all that kind of stuff. Don't you love family? Don't you just love it? Of course, you know. We got the older people here, us older people who are, you know, kind of reserved. We don't do that kind of thing. And, of course, today will be really low-key, right? Am I right in saying that? No. No. Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 3.
Come on.
And I'm going to see if you handle this the way they did. Now, the title is The Voice of One. The Voice of One, and Micah pick this passage here in Luke 3. And bottom line, you may be thinking, this is going to be a message on unity. And you're right, it is. But it's not just that. Okay? It's a voice of one. Luke 3, starting verse 4, it says, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked roads shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all mankind will see God's salvation. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already in the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire.
Yep.
You know, good passage for being around the bonfire, right? What should we do then? The crowd asked. John answered, the man with tunic should share with him who has none. And the one who has food should do the same. Tax collectors also came to be baptized. Teacher, they asked, what should we do? Don't collect any more than you are required to, he told them. Then some soldiers asked him, and what should we do? He replied, don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Christ. Okay, you look at John the Baptist. This was a man's man. He's an intense dude. I mean, here he is. He's out in the desert, wearing camel hair, eating locusts. Okay? He's kind of the gladiator type of dude, right? And he's got a message. He's laying people out. Now, where is John at this point? Where's his fishing hole? It's in the desert. Okay, it's not like he said, okay, I'm going to go to the temple area and preach. Okay, he's in the middle of nowhere. All right? And he was that voice of one. You know, it's amazing that he had this prophecy about him. Wouldn't it be kind of cool if there's a prophecy about you?
Come on.
You know? And Dave Rodriguez came out and he preached in Lombard. And the people just repented and fell before his face. Wouldn't that be awesome? You know, Kama Parlour at work came and people were drawn to her. You know, because she wasn't eating locusts, she was eating, you know, her, you know, that kind of thing. But it says people were drawn to him. Now, this is kind of a bizarre thing. How many people live in the desert? People don't live there. They're coming out to him.
Yes.
All right? They're coming out to him and hearing him lay them out. I mean, he says, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath?" You know, wouldn't you love to keep hearing that kind of stuff every Sunday? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. In other words, you got to change. Hey, and don't make this excuse that, well, we're Christians, we believe in God, and this, we go to church, and we read our Bible, we help the little old lady across the street, and I'm okay, you're okay. That's not the sermon here, okay? He lays them out.
That's right.
He says, listen, the axe is already at the root, dude. Wake up! Now, what would draw people to John? In the desert, preaching this kind of stuff.
Come on.
Well, I'm glad you asked.
Okay, come on.
That's what we're going to talk about. He says, you need to repent. All right? And he's saying, listen, don't mess with me. You're going to hear this kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yep, that's right.
And they're like, okay, what do we do? All right, so the crowds are coming out, and he says, okay, don't do this. See, they understood there was something that had to be done.
Yes.
It's not just show up and hear a good sermon.
Right.
It's, I've got to change.
Yeah.
Right. What is it in my life that isn't right, that's got to be different?
Come on, right.
And really, that needs to be the heart of a disciple.
Right.
I need to change because I'm not perfect yet.
Uh-huh.
Now, some are closer than others, but we're not perfect yet. And if we're not actively, aggressively changing, okay, then we're plateauing, and that's not a good place to be.
Right.
People need to see in us, you're different. What's going on? I'm walking with Jesus.
Yeah.
Now, I don't understand. How can you walk with the Creator of the universe and not change?
Yeah.
Right.
If you're not changing, I question that. I question your quiet times.
Yep.
Are you just reading it, or are you transforming because of it?
Come on.
All right? So what's the draw? You know, John the Baptist had an amazing ministry. If you look throughout history, even in Acts chapter 19, Paul runs into a bunch of guys. Chapter 19, verse 1, and he says, what baptism did you receive? And they said, John's baptism. We have not even heard there is a Holy Spirit. Okay? So here you got, you know that John's impact was all over because Paul was on a missionary journey.
Yep.
And he's running into the disciples of Paul. All right? But I don't know that if you that you know that there are disciples of John even today.
Yeah.
There are people who still follow John the Baptist today.
Right.
I've ran into them. I've studied the Bible with them.
Wow.
They call themselves Sabaeans. And they believe you have to be baptized in a river. This is the kind of impact John had. In fact, he was so amazing, they said, could this be the Christ? That's the voice of one. And it's really amazing because we don't really look at John as powerful as that.
Right.
But that voice of one prepared people for Christ.
That's right.
And that's the challenging question for us. Is that what we do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, do we prepare people to come into a relationship with Jesus?
Wow.
And repentance is a huge part of it. You can't have a relationship with someone and not change. Now, those of you who are married, now this is a little different than what I was talking to the singles about, right? If you're married and you try to live that single life, how does that go? Yeah, it's like battlefield, you know? You try to stay single, and they try to stay single, and you try to mesh that thing, it gets ugly sometimes. And it's the same way with God. We try to stay the way we were before we became disciples. And we try to pull that into our relationship with God, and we say God will understand. No. And who is it that needs to change? God?
No,
I don't think so.
Come on.
You know, point number one is the impact of a voice of one can have. Question is, what kind of impact do you have when you're alone? John was alone. What is it like when you're on the job alone and you don't have all these disciples encouraging you and inspiring you? What do you like when you're home alone with that family member? What do you like when you're just alone, period? Do you inspire people and draw people to you like John did? Like Jesus did. John 12:32, Jesus said, when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to myself.
Wow.
And see, really, it's a lifestyle. People need to see. It's just not Sunday, check in, check out. It is who you are when you're alone.
That's right.
When you are alone. You know, throughout history, there's always been a voice of one that's changed people's lives. You know, I don't know if you think about Gandhi, okay? Voice of one.
Right.
And he came and he changed the history of India. And he rescued India. And he died for it.
Right.
Okay? And you had Martin Luther did that. Way back at the time of the Reformation. He was the guy who started it.
Right.
Okay? And it went crazy after that. But it was a voice of one. Martin Luther King Jr., same thing. And I could go on and on and on. But you know what? They're not alone because there's people who believe in what they speak about.
Yeah, amen.
But other people won't do the talking. They're reserved. They hold back because they know they're going to suffer. And really, it's when that person engages and says, listen, it's time to do something. I'm going to do it. And most of these people know they're going to die. They're surrendered to the fact, I'm going to die. And that is true with Jesus too. The question is, are we going to engage? And are we going to draw all people to ourselves?
Come on.
You know, you think about John, he preached the truth. Jesus preached the truth. And that's what people want. They want the truth. They get enough fluff everywhere else.
Yeah.
I mean, John's message was pretty intense. He wasn't putting any little candy coating on that thing. All right? And people said, amen. What do I need to do? That needs to be our spirit. You know, I want to share a few things. Whenever I worked a full-time job, okay, and I was a goldsmith, design, make jewelry, I worked at jewelry stores, I would be able to baptize people wherever I worked, full-time. All right? I didn't go around blitzing people. All right? First day, freak everybody out. I didn't do that. Okay? But what I did was I just lived the life there. And sometimes it was pretty intense. You know how it can be on the job? There was one situation where I was sitting in a staff meeting, okay? And there was all these, you know, all the people were there. My boss is talking and he's talking, I don't remember. And the phone rings and I'm sitting next to the phone, all right? Pick it up and he says, is Bill there? Now, Bill's my boss. And I said, Bill, it's for you. And he says, tell him I'm not here. Oh, baby. Everybody's looking at me. I said, I can't do that. And everybody's like, time for entertainment, man. What's going to happen here, you know? And he starts yelling at me, why not? I said, because it's a lie. And I thought, you know? He didn't know what to say. It took him back. And he just said, I read you loud and clear. He took the call. But everybody from there on out respected me because I was going to be a man who did what I claimed I was.
Right.
Yeah. And the one guy who got baptized there, he says, you know, he claimed to be a born-again Christian until you came in.
Wow.
All right?
Come on.
And see, it's not that I'm awesome or anything like that. It's just I've made the decision to do the walk. This is what we should all be doing.
Right.
You know? And see, people started to come to me because they felt they could trust me. Do people, are they drawn to you because they feel they can trust you?
Yeah.
That you're going to tell them and give them the hope that they need.
Right.
You know, Barb one time, she got a job, okay, and her job was, we first moved to Madison, she had to work on computers. Now, I love Barb, but she's not a computer person.
Oh.
It hurts my eyes, you know, that kind of thing. And she's not a computer person, right? And she wasn't blowing it out. That's saying it nicely. She knew it. And she would go to the boss and he's, oh, you're doing fine, you're doing fine. But she knew she wasn't doing that great of a job because it just wasn't her thing. Well, then the kids were getting older and she wanted part-time. And she went to the boss. He said, okay, what do you want? And I don't know, 30 hours or something like that. Well, the people were taken back. They've never given anybody 30 hours. I've been trying to go part-time for years. What's the deal with that? And so then Barb, finally when she was going to quit, he said, you know what? You change the atmosphere when you're here. That's why we want you here. And see, that's really what it's got to be. If the Holy Spirit is in you, you should change the atmosphere no matter where you're at.
Right.
Am I right in this?
Yeah.
And see, really it comes down to being a voice of one. No matter where you're at, your life and what you say should change the world around you.
Amen.
Do you speak out when you're alone? You know, in verse 4, it says, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for Him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain hill made low. The crooked road shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all mankind will see God's salvation. What does that mean? You know, what's that talking about? Well, if you're trying to travel or go anywhere, and you've got a valley, all right, and you got a mountain, it's not like you can see. If you're a crooked road, you can't see what's ahead. And see, this is what he's saying. He's smoothing everything out so it will become clear.
Yeah.
So people can understand. And it says, all mankind will see God's salvation.
Yeah.
And see, hey, listen, there are over 600 denominations in America.
That's right.
People are messed up. They're confused. They don't get it. You know, I'll study the Bible with people, and even with religious people, I'll say, okay, what must I do to be saved? You tell me. And most of them have no, I'm not sure. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. Are you saved? Yeah. Well, how did you get there? And they usually can't even tell me. Why? Because people are confused.
Yeah.
And really, it shouldn't be confusing. Jesus didn't come to bring confusion. Who brings confusion?
Satan.
Yeah. He is the author of confusion. And really, God's saying, listen, I need you to guide people and direct people through the valleys, through the mountains, and make it clear so they can be saved. Does that make it sense?
Yeah, man.
Very confusing. All mankind can see. Okay, then he says to cry out. Look in Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40 is where this passage is taken from.
Right.
Now, when Mike gave me this, I don't think he realized this is one of my favorite passages. I like Isaiah 40, and you will see why. Isaiah chapter 40. If you open your Bibles halfway, it's usually Isaiah. Just a little freebie there for you. And he talks about John here. Isaiah 40, verse 1. Comfort! Comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed. Does that sound like John? Tenderly? You know? Hey, it's going to be comfort. Her sin has been paid for, and she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Boy, that's a nice passage, right? That's what everybody wants to hear. Comfort. Give me comfort. Oh, yes. I want to hear more of that stuff. God is the God of all comfort. That's what we want to hear, right?
Yeah.
You know, the vacation. Let's Denise was saying, let's go, you know, get a tan. Let's go in that hot water and just kind of veg out for a while. That's what we like.
Yeah.
All right? But that wasn't John's message, was it?
No.
But it was. What does repentance bring?
Refreshment.
Refreshment.
Yeah.
The times of refreshment might come. When you're in sin, you don't have comfort. When you're in the pits, you can't really feel free. When you got all this guilt on your shoulders, there's no way that you can feel comfortable. You can't feel that peace that God wants.
Yep.
It's through repentance that it comes. And see, a lot of us need a good, you know, strong, hard-talking, a good kick in the rear to open our eyes and get us to see it.
Yep.
But because we're so stinking prideful and stubborn, and we're blind.
Right.
And God says, listen, I want you to open their eyes. Then he shares that verse 3 through 5, the one we read. But then let's go on. Verse 6, he says, a voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are like grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever.
Amen.
You who bring good tidings to Zion, go on a mountain, high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a what? A shout. Lift it up, do not be afraid, says the towns of Judah. Here is your God. He says, first of all, he says, cry out. You know, a lot of us are afraid to share our faith. We're afraid to talk about God.
Amen.
And really, when it comes down to it, you're more concerned about how you look than people's salvation.
Right.
It's saying, I would rather you go to hell forever than not look bad. What is that? And he says, cry out. Scream out God's message.
Yeah.
It's like when you have something that everybody's looking for. If you had the answer for cancer, what would you do with that thing? Hide it?
Yeah.
Come on, bro.
Come on.
No, amen. All right. Now, last year, the Packers won the Super Bowl. What?
Amen.
What? Is this wrong?
Amen.
Okay, Packers won the Super Bowl. Now, when we were in the playoffs, we played Chicago. Chicago versus Green Bay.
Yeah.
Right? I'm from Green Bay, that's why everybody's... Anyway, my daughter Tracy was at a Super Bowl or a playoff game party, and it was the Bears against the Packers. And the Packers won, all right? And Tracy was like, Dad, it was so hard to rejoice.
It was at my house.
It was at your house? Yeah. It was so hard to rejoice. Everybody was so bummed out. She says, I was like, you know? She couldn't let it out.
Come on.
And I said, well, you can come home and let it out. Come on down. We're letting it out here. But that's how people are. Even in our spirit, we can feel like, I want to cry out. But we give in for fear of what people are going to think or say.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's really quite sad because we have an awesome God.
Amen.
And we don't talk about Him.
Right.
The question is, what does your voice bring? What does your voice bring to the table? Whining? Complaining? Faithlessness? Negativity? Fear? Anger? Well, maybe this is why people aren't responding at work. What is your voice bringing to the table for all people to see? You know, inspiration, love, joy, peace, patience, all that stuff. What is it that is in your heart? Jesus said, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Right.
Yeah.
Then what is in your heart? What is in my heart? We need to cry out. Now he says, now all men are like grass. They wither. I'm starting to feel that withering process. As I get older, I'm starting to feel that withering. You know, I shared this on Friday night, and they're like, oh, Jay, you're all, you know. I said, oh, your time's coming. Your time's coming, man. And it's going to come faster than you think.
Yeah.
All right, for us older people, we know. But why does God do that? Humble us.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people don't think they need God. But if we're kept on our knees, It humbles you. You know, Joe and Denise shared about Denise's dad. We went to see Denise's dad in the hospital. He was a different man when he was humbled. Am I right?
Oh, yeah.
Radically different. But when he got better, what happened? Back to square one.
Yeah.
And see, God forces us to think about death. God forces us to think, hey, I'm only going to be here for a while. And he says, you're like grass. You're going to wither.
Yeah.
You may think you're awesome now. It's coming. And I do it to force you to look at me. Look to me. And cry out to me.
Come on.
Yeah.
It's no fun going through the withering effect.
No,
no fun. But the withering is on the outside. What's on the inside?
Right.
It says we're renewed how often? Day by day. Renewed day by day. You know, we got to be like that Caleb. Caleb was 80 years old when he was in battle. And he says, hey, I'm as vigorous now as I was 45 years ago. Give me the high land. You know, attacking the high land is not an easy way to go. But that needs to be our spirit.
Come on.
And we can't allow us getting older to be an excuse for us not to cry out and tell people about God.
Right.
It should be the other way around. We should be more fired up today than we were 40 years ago, 30 years ago, 20 years ago.
Yep.
People need to see that. Listen, the walk doesn't stop in 10 years, in 5 years. We should constantly be an inspiration to the younger people.
Amen.
That, listen, it doesn't matter. I'm not living for this world.
Uh-huh.
I'm living for beyond. He says, shout! Lift up your voice and shout. Well, it's uncool. Well, who are you trying to please here?
Right. Mm-hmm.
God or man? Are you concerned what people think?
No.
Okay. Let's go to verse 10.
Come on.
We're going to show about why God is so cool. Verse 10. See, the sovereign Lord comes with what?
Power.
And his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him. He accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. You know, you read about Jesus' life, and he was an intense dude. He laid people out. He talked more about hell than anybody else in the Bible, and yet this is what it's talking about him. There is the velvet covered by, or steel covered by velvet. All right? In other words, Jesus was a man full of grace, full of truth.
Right.
And sometimes we do the pendulum swing.
Right.
Oh, I'm too hard on people. No, you can be hard on people, like John was, but you can love them just as intensely.
Yep, amen.
And see, that's the challenge, to have that heart. But this is our God. But look at what it says about him. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Or with the breath of his hand, marked off the heavens. It was cool to be out there Friday night because I saw all the stars out there and I was like in awe. I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
You know? And it wasn't just a few stars. It was like plastered.
Yep.
The Milky Way, it was like a milky color white because there's so many stars.
Yeah.
And it says he takes his hand, he measures it off. He puts the hollows in the hand, all the waters of the earth in the hollows of his hand.
Wow.
That's how big our God is.
Yep. Come on.
Verse 13, who has understood the mind of the Lord or instructed him as his counselor? You know, how are we going to understand God? Other than what we have in the scriptures. And who of us is going to instruct him? How did you see that in your prayer life? Okay, God, you know what? You're doing these things. Let me give you some advice. I think you should do it this way. It's not working that way. Do it this way. Let me help you out here.
Yep.
All right?
Come on.
And yet, we don't say those things, but then we're angry with God when he doesn't do it our way.
Right.
You know? And he's saying, listen, you know, I'm the one giving the instruction.
Yep.
Yeah.
I know more. I've been around longer. But we think, in all of our incredible wisdom,
come
to me and I'll help you.
Mm.
All right? But does our life show it? Verse 14, whom did the Lord consult to enlighten him? And who taught him the right way? Who was it that taught him knowledge or showed him the path of understanding? Surely the nations are like a drop in the bucket. They're regarded as dust on the scale. He weighs the islands as though they were fine dust.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of islands in this world.
There are.
And he's just like, they're like dust to me.
Yep.
Lebanon is not sufficient for altar fires, nor is animals enough for burnt offerings. Before him, all nations are as nothing. They are regarded by him as worthless, and they are nothing. It's like Joe was saying earlier. We need to become nothing. God says, you are nothing. You are nothing. And see, our pride says, I'm something. I'm it. And God says, you don't get it. I usually use the analogy of ants. Have you guys ever heard that analogy? Let's say there's a bunch of ants that are trying to handle life. Okay? And you love those ants. I don't know why. Maybe you had an ant farm growing up or whatever. But you love those ants. Okay? And they're messing up. And you say, you know what? I'm going to become an ant to help them. So you go down there, and let's say you try to explain to them your world. Oh, yeah, we worship at Whitney Young High School. The high school, well, it's a, you know, and this and that. And you should see these jets. Let me tell you what a jet is. They're not going to get that stuff.
Right.
You know? And that's how we can compare God. God says, listen, I could say all, I could share all sorts of, you're not going to get it.
Yeah.
You just got to trust me. And then, as an ant, you die for those ants. So they can see clearly. And that's God.
Yeah.
It's amazing. You know, he goes on in verse 18. To whom then will you compare God? What image will you compare him to? And see, people do that. Okay, we need an image. Let's make an image so that we can have something to guide and direct us. And God says, that ain't going to work. You can't even do that. Verse 21, do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth. And its people are like what? Grasshoppers. Okay, maybe I should have said grasshoppers instead of ants.
Yeah.
And by the way, this is a passage, a great passage to show in verse 22, that the Bible says the earth was a circle. It was a sphere. You know, long before Columbus came. All right, this was written.
Yep.
Yeah.
Once again, seeing that God understood and knew all these things.
Right.
Yeah.
And we think in our incredible wisdom, we know what we're doing. Verse 25. To whom will you compare me, or who is my equal? Says the Lord one. Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these things? You know, it's amazing. God says, listen, trust me. I'm in control. And we feel like we're in control. Like we've got to do this or it's not going to happen. We got to do that versus prayer.
Come on.
And we're not in control. We can't control the weather.
Amen.
I mean, look at what's been going on.
Amen.
Earthquakes, tsunamis, all these things.
Yep.
God's in control, all right? And we can't even make our heart beat without God.
Right.
And God says, listen, trust me. I know what I'm doing.
Yep.
He goes on. Verse 28. Do you not know, have you not heard, the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like the eagles, and they will run, not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. You know, when you're young, you know, Friday night when I was doing this, when you're young, you think you're invincible.
That's right.
Bring it on!
That's
come on, I can do it! Kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know? And then, you know, you break a few bones and you do some real damage to yourself. A few car accidents. You know, you often wonder, why do those old people drive so slow? You know? That's why, man. A few accidents, you start driving a little slow. Unless you're like, never mind. Let's not go there. Okay. But you look at this, he says, listen, I give strength to the weary.
Yes.
You know, young people, they grow tired. I don't. I have all power. I don't grow weary. And yet we put our hope in things that are so weak, that are destroyed so quickly.
Yep.
You think about what people put their foundation in. Their homes, their jobs, another relationship. Those things fall apart, what happens? That's really what you communicate. How small is your God when things are bad? or how great is your God when things are bad. And see, that voice of one, when you're talking to people, they're like, what, you just lost your home? How can you be so happy? Because it's not about the home. You know? My strength isn't in this and that and the other thing. But boy, I'll tell you, you know, last week I still do jewelry work. I got with this jeweler. And his business has fallen apart. If you're in the jewelry industry, it's a tough time. Let me think. Pay my rent or eat? Or jewelry or what? You know? People don't buy jewelry. It's a luxury item.
Right. Yeah.
So jewelers are going under left and right. People aren't buying jewelry. They're selling it. And this guy is being humbled before my eyes. It's amazing. And he's like, I'm trying to wrestle. He said, I picked up the Bible. I've started reading it. I see these things, and I know I need to change the way I think, but it doesn't stick. And I said, it's because you're not surrendered. And that's the answer.
Right.
Yep.
You got to give up, and you got to say, okay, God, it's time.
Yeah.
Because what happens when you surrender? It's that repentance. It brings refreshment and joy. And there are a lot of people like this. But people are looking at you. People are looking at me and saying, how are you handling it? Are you happy? How can you continue to be happy? Once again, what does your voice of one bring to the table?
Yeah.
Are you with me here? Are you understanding that?
It's awesome.
Now, this is where the unity comes in.
Come on.
Let's say you have that voice of one, but you're surrounded by people that don't have it. Okay? You need to still speak out, right? But let's say you got a whole church where you have a voice of one. Where is that voice of one? It's right here.
Amen.
Yeah.
This is what we need to point to. This is God's word, His spoken word. And when you got a whole church that are all speaking the same word, how powerful it is.
Yep.
And you know, really, it's amazing to me what this church has done.
Yes.
I'm really blown away. You know, when we first started this thing, we had 29 people. That's smaller than this group.
Right.
And to see the lives change. You know, we've sent out 20-some people. They're all over the world continuing to do what we're doing here. And so the fruit isn't just here. We're having a world impact because of this church. And I see people overcoming and inspiring people, family and friends, to come on in. Because they see the change in all of you. You know, when Juan and Betty went through that whole kidney thing, I'll tell you, it was just flat inspiring that people were constantly coming to inspire, help. What can we do? Hispanic ministry, everybody, people wrapping their arms around them.
Right.
And to see, you know, the kidney fails, and yet Juan's saying, listen, I've got a nurse who wants to come on out because she's of what she saw.
Yep. Yeah.
People need to see it, and they will see it as long as this is our voice.
Yeah.
Right.
Challenge for us, and I'm going to leave you with a challenge.
Come on.
Okay? Challenge for us is to be like-minded. To be in one spirit. Philippians 2, I was going to go there. Joe did a great job here. It says, we should be like Jesus. Humble and a servant. And when you serve with gratitude and excitement, people are inspired by that.
Yep.
They want to be a part of it because they want their lives to make a difference. Amen. They want to change eternity. They don't want to just be a number. And that one voice, the world will hear it. And they'll all respond in this, our generation. Amen?
Amen.